So, you know, every month we have to get out there and recruit storytellers. We're always trying to find people that can tell a story about the given theme. And sometimes people self-identify, like Helen did, and sometimes we do outreach to specific people we know. And then other times we just get an idea for what kind of story we want. And for Spooked, I was thinking, like, wow, it's Alaska. There's always all these crazy stories out there of people having these, like, near misses, so to speak, out in the wilds where they're doing some crazy trip and something happens unexpectedly, and it's sort of like make or break if they can get back alive. And when I think about Spooked, for me, that's about the spookiest thing there is. So in doing that outreach, we were able to get in touch with Amanda Smith, who has a story that will probably spook all of you. So,
in the thinking of whether or not I was going to tell this story, I had to talk with myself a little bit, and I realized that it's in the telling and hearing of each other's stories that keeps us alive. So that's why I am willing and excited to give you one small glimpse, a 7-minute glimpse into what was about a 24-hour period for me. So it was an absolutely beautiful day, the kind of day that doesn't come along very often, and I was on a 3-day trek, and I was coming up this one side of a glacier that was south-facing, freeze-thaw, 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 with little rivulets running on the top, and then there was a pass on the glacier, and I crossed over the pass, and it was evident, this east-facing side, that there was about 3 days before it had snowed, and there was a few inches of snow, and I'm as happy as can be glissading down this glacier, and right as I look to my left and I see these crazy cracks connected to the moraine, I realized I shouldn't be on this glacier, and bam, I fell and I hit my chin hard against the other side of the crevasse, and I fell hard, ragdolling down, hitting, banging about 35 feet down into this crevasse, and as I'm falling, I think to myself, I'm falling in a crevasse. This is what it's like to fall in a crevasse. And bam, I land on the last snow bridge in this dark, icy chute. And right ahead of me, so I'm lying face down, and right ahead of me is my hat, like 6 feet, like my favorite hat, and my trekking pole, which is the only sharp object I have in this cave of ice, and the wall of the crevasse is right to my right, and I think to myself, like, oh, I like systems check, am I okay? I'm okay, you're okay. Oh my gosh, you're in this crevasse, and I look down and my fingernails have all been ripped off from trying to grab on as I was falling, and I go to push myself up, and whoomp, my hand goes right through this snow bridge, and I realize at that moment that there are 100 different types of ice and snow. There is really soft, crystally, poofy snow, and there is hard blue ice, and there's brittle ice, and slick ice, and soft ice, and everything in between. And so I have to get off this snow bridge that I'm on. My pack's all askew, and right to my left, there's about an 8-foot bridge, and I climb, plunging my hands into this bridge, and I get on to this next ledge, and it's on this ledge that I can be for a long time. And so I'm on this ledge, and I take out my sleeping pad, and I put on pants. I had been wearing shorts, and I put on my down jacket and my hat, and I put on rain pants and a rain jacket, and here I can be for a while. And I think to myself, okay, this is the first day on your trip. Someone's not going to recognize you're gone for 3 more days, maybe 4 more days, and then your car will be there, and they're not going to be alarmed for 5 more days, and then it will take at least one solid day to get to where you are. Okay, I can live on this bench for that long. And then I think to myself that there are other people. I thought of Colby Coombs, who had broken 2 vertebrae and down climbed for 2 days in the winter to get back to help. And I thought of Aaron Ralston, who had been stuck between a rock and a hard place and cut his arm off for help. And I thought of my great friend Anne, who had been buried in an avalanche in January. And I thought, if they can do that, I can do this. And And so then I take my pack off and I eat a little bit of a Snickers bar with what was a really mangled jaw, and I drink some water, and I plan my escape, and my in-hole is here, and my, what became, my out-hole is here, and there's one other crack of light above me, and I take the edible food out of my pack and put it in my pockets. I take my headlamp out and put it in my pockets because I now have two goals. One is to not let anything fall on top of me, and the other is for me to not fall further. And so I have what I need on me, and I can't climb with my pack on because it weighs me down just a little. And I can't not have my pack if I fall further, because it has a sleeping pad which would insulate me from this ice, and a stove and a few other things. And so I take my tent fly and I tie it to my pack, and there's a ledge right beside me. This whole crevasse is made of chutes and disconnected ladders and big dark holes, and I have my pack, and I realize if I can get it to that ledge, I can climb up and meet it and then climb in. So I put the guy line of my tent in the mouth, in my mouth, the tent fly, which is tied to my pack, and I throw it up to the next ledge and it falls, and I reel it back in and I throw it up and it falls, and this was not very far, and I wonder, that's weird. And I didn't know that I had dislocated all five ribs and twisted a couple vertebrae and didn't have much strength in that arm. So finally I get low on my knees and throw it up, and it stays, and the guy line's in my mouth, and now it's time to climb. I've been here for about 3 or 4 hours now. And so I have this space, this span of space to get across in this brittle, sharp ice, and I have to get through underneath. And so there is an icicle here, and I remember my friend Scotty once saying to me, of all strange things, he's a climber, ice is strong, it'll hold you, ice is strong. So I grab that icicle, I have my leg up, and basically after testing and trying 100 times, I go for the leap of faith, and I climb, and I'm bashing icicles away from me, and I let the guy line out of my mouth come out around, and now I'm with my pack, and there's this hard ice ladder, bridge, thing, slick as all get out. And so I take my tent stakes and I start chiseling. Because you have all the time in the world to get it right and no chances for getting it wrong. And so I chiseled out one foothold, and I could stand up a little higher and hold onto that. Took me about an hour, by the way. And then I chiseled out a second foothold, and then I put the guy line of my tent slash attached to my pack in my mouth, and I climbed, and I made it up to the next bridge, and then I'm just like 6 feet from the top, and then the opening of the crevasse is narrowing, and here the snow is like the kind of snow like when you're a child and you're building a fort. And so I'm down on my knees, and I pull the snow and I pack it down, and I pull the snow and I pack it down, and I pull the snow and I pack it down, and finally I have a stool that's like 3 feet higher, and I step up onto my stool, and now the crevasse is getting narrower and I'm getting really close, and I make a snowball and I smack it against one side of the crevasse, and I pack it in, and I pack it in, and I pack it in, and then I can use that as a foothold and chimney myself out, and I rolled out the very end of this beautiful day, and I think, oh, I can keep going on my trip. Until I looked around and realized that I was still on the glacier, and I had to get off of the glacier, and now I see crevasses everywhere. And so I take my tent poles and I use them as probes, and I get to the moraine. And it was when I was at the moraine, I had an 18-mile hike out. And so I had to take off my down jacket, and I had to be ready for what was next. And I had been so rational and calm that I'm getting ready for my hike out. And that is when I screamed.